This is Be Real, a podcast for big-hearted preteen and teen girls and folks socialized as girls. A shout out to my gender-expansive badasses who are tired of faking it. I'm your host slash new big sibling, Eliza, and this is one of the places I hang out with you and sometimes some badass guests as we figure out together how to turn up the volume on being more of our real selves. It's kind of a relief, right? And sometimes also super hard. Now, a side note, if you're here listening to this episode, it's because somebody loves you. Yep, they thought you'd like this podcast. So congratulations on that. And if you're feeling a little teeny weeny bit resistant, like what the fresh heck is this thing that talks about all the feels? You're not alone. Talking about this stuff can feel weird or a little different since a lot of people don't. My nudge to you as an honorary big sibling is to give it a try. What are you going to lose? This is your life. Don't just be a no because they're sitting right next to you on the couch listening. Hi, I see you. Oh, and if you've got all the feels and you're so excited to listen in, welcome. You're in the right place. I love you. I see you too. Let's do this.
Hello, my loves. Eliza here. And welcome to Be Real. Oh my gosh, I've got such an episode for you today. But first, a love note. This episode is dropping in early December 2021. And this is one of the last episodes of season one. I don't know when season two is going to come or what it's going to look like. I just know it's time for a break for almost 2 years. Maybe it's more like a year and a half. I can't do math right now as I'm talking to you. And we've been putting Be Real basically weekly into the world. I'm so proud of this labor of love. And so many of these last episodes of season one are the ones that I've been dreaming about for a long time. Either it's guests that I've been trying to schedule for now literally years, or episodes like the abortion one, for example, that I felt like I created this podcast to do, right? Like if there's never a season two, I wanted those to exist in the world because they're the dream of my heart, that we have new, different, kind, radically inclusive conversations about some of this really important stuff. So I love you. Thanks for listening along. Please share these episodes with folks who need that, right? Like if we want to create more real spaces, we need each other, and invite people into your journey. I want you to have community. If you care about this stuff, I want you to have a community that you can talk about stuff like this with and be real with. That's why we created this free resource that is the podcast. And if you want to keep hearing from me on a weekly basis, I'm going to go back to my writing roots. I wrote a book when I was, between 17 and 19. And I've always loved words. Talking here on the podcast is one way, but journaling, writing myself stories, and writing you love letters is like my OG way to be real. And so I'm going to be sending out love letters just for our private folks who are on our email list. So you can go to show notes to grab that. Make sure you're getting those. It's the only way to make sure you get those letters from me. I'm probably not going to be posting on social media. It's winter. I like to hermit up. But you can always get that if you go to badassgirls.me/playlist to get the playlist, and you'll get all the upcoming emails. Or if you are a parent, guardian, adult supporting badass preteens or teens, you can always go to badassgirls.me/video. And that's where you can get a free 20-minute video lesson on why your teen girl is a gift and how to make sure she knows it, plus the regular emails from me. So we got magic and presents for you. Thanks for listening in. Let me tell you a little bit about today's episode. Christine Gutierrez is a Latina licensed psychotherapist, a life coach, an expert in love addiction, trauma, and self-esteem. And this episode is recommended for folks who are in their mid to late teenage years. If you're younger, please come listen. Just find somebody to talk about with it because some of this stuff is real intense. You want to make sure you have the community and the support that feels good. This episode is really dating real talk time. Christine and I went right to it. It's a little bit shorter of an interview than I mostly do. And one reason for that is that you will hear at the end of the episode, probably we'll see how Amelia edits it. You'll probably hear her delicious little chunk of baby love. She's a new mama. Her baby, I believe, is like 5 months the time of recording. Mar, baby Mar is amazing. And so, baby Mar needed some attention, but also we just really wanted to get into it and get real with the time we had. So it's a more essence deep dive. If you know that you want healthy love, whether it's you're dating somebody now or when it comes to crushes, like you have your first crush, you're not sure if you want it to be a thing, or your friends are dating, if you ever worry that you or maybe your friends are like, feels like rushing towards like toxic AF relationship dynamics. You just see them so much and you want to make sure you avoid them. You're not sure how to avoid it. This episode is such a good start. You'll hear us talking about our relationship to ourselves and self-love and how we do that. Talk about family dynamics, talk about first crushes. Christine sharing that is one of like her first crush stories and my first part. It's one of my favorite parts because, you know, she gets real. Christine talks about chasing and chaser dynamics, what if you wanted, how to know what red flags and yellow flags are, why you can't save a friend if they're in a difficult situation, even if we want to, but what we can do and sometimes what we must do. As you can tell, there's a lot of magic in this episode. One final note is that you'll hear a phrase or two that Christina uses in our conversation when she's answering my questions, like losing your virginity, which is a really normalized phrase when we talk about sex and, you know, being a teenager and initial sex, first sex, all those things. And one of the things that's really important to me in our Be Real conversations and the community we've gathered here around Badass Girls and the Badass Academy is questioning some of those phrases that come from more, you know, toxic normalized dynamics. So I wanted to add that layer into you. Christina's amazing and, you know, disagrees with all of those norms, but it is a phrase that was used and it feels important for me to name that going into the episode because I think the loss of virginity is an illusion and there's bigger conversations about that. We'll put a few in the show notes that you might be interested in if you want to go deeper with us about why that is. Specifically, the conversation with Anne talked about that a little bit, about our relationship to pleasure and sexuality and really defining sex for ourselves and that, you know, losing virginity can focus on this idea of loss. Loss of innocence, loss of ourselves, when actually healthy intimacy and sex with somebody else can be a place of a lot of discovery and wonder and positivity, and maybe doesn't feel like a loss at all. So, you know, just some layers to think about. I love y'all so much. There's going to be a little break where we talk about the Academy, and then we're diving into this episode. Love y'all. Oh my gosh, Christine, welcome finally to the pod. I'm so excited to have you on Be Real. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to dive right in as we do. I think Be Real is a way that you live as well. And as I mentioned in your intro, I love your book, I'm Diosa. Thank you for writing it. Thank you for living it so that you could write it. I feel so moved by that when people bring beautiful bodies of work into the world, like the sweat and magic of life experience to be able to create this. Y'all can't see my video, but I'm crying already. So thank you for all the moments of life that went into creating this and sharing this. As I said in the intro, this is an adult book recommended for folks, you know. However, I love to bring folks who are such wise teachers to talk with us. And this episode is for, you know, folks in their teenage years, middle, older teens. And I'm wondering if you can tell us, take us back in time to teenage Christine or when you remember your first crush happening.
Oh my God. I love this question. What a mess. Let's start with that. What a mess. I called him bus boy and he, because I met him on a bus and yep. He was super cute. I grew up in Brooklyn and at the time I was living in Queens. I don't remember if I was like 13, 14, something like that.
Yeah.
That's the first like big crush I can remember, right? I remember that he really liked me. And in the beginning, once I found out that he really liked me, in a classic non-healthy sort of response, I was like, forget it. I don't like him. And this was because...
so real. Oh my God. Yeah.
I grew up with a really, you know, mixed toxic relationship with a mixture of love and abuse. And so I didn't know what healthy love felt like or looked like or desire. And so even at an early age, once love was reciprocated in a stable way, which wasn't, love wasn't stable in my house, I didn't know how to take it. It was too much love for me. And so I believe had I grown up with more stability, I would have thought that that was more attractive. And I ended up going on this, you know, dynamic with this person for a while where it was, now you like me, I don't like you, this chaser kind of push and pull dynamic. So that was my first experience. And I actually ended up losing my virginity to that person. And we became, you know, we were friends for years, but it was complex, even from my first crush. So I always think about that. I'm like, wow, even my first crush was like a mess. way to start off the love path. But that I think is, you know, it says a lot, because at an early age, even in our teen years, we already are seeing those patterns from our childhood show up. So if you're listening to this and you're a teen, like looking at, you know, your relationship to your parents, and did you grow up with messed up kind of dynamics at home, and maybe you're replaying them.
Yeah.
So it's important to look at that earlier on, because if you get access to a podcast that can maybe change your direction, right?
Here we are, right? Yep. Talking about it here for a reason. Okay. So right. Let's get to the heart of the question that I know is like really on so many folks' hearts as they hear you speak. How do you choose healthy love, right? If you are in, maybe you're like having your first crush, maybe you're in that place where your first crush, you actually want it to become something, right? Maybe you're dating the second person you've ever dated, whatever it is, like in this journey of love and romance and relationship, but you want to choose healthy. Like, I'm going to ask the question we're thinking here. How do you have control of that? How do you make sure that you're attracted to something that's healthy? And what do you do if you feel like you're not? You're like, oh, she is bad for me.
I mean, I think that sometimes, you know, we can avoid the lessons that we need to avoid, but I think that we can approach them healthier. And so like, if we're going to make a mistake, maybe we cut down how long we're living in a negative pattern, or maybe we catch ourselves a little bit faster. But I do believe that part of our path, especially as teenagers, is to explore our limits and figure things out and navigate these things that happen. So first of all, giving ourselves permission to know that we won't do it perfect, you know, because no matter what I say, we still have a life experience to live, and no parent can avoid that for their child. Unfortunately, even if you do everything right, they're still going to go through their lessons. So that's first. Second of all, I would say building the relationship with yourself, like really learning to say, what do I value? How do I want to be treated? How do I want to feel? How am I honoring myself? Because it all starts with our relationship to self. And you, me, you know, every single person on earth, how we develop relationships with others ultimately comes down to how we view ourselves. And how we view ourselves is impacted by how we were raised, and also just who we are, because we come with our own set of intricacies and mental health and sensitivities and wildness in our personalities. So we have to take time. You know, journaling is a great way to start. Yeah. Asking yourself, especially as a teen, I lived for my journals. Like, my God, I still love journaling, but it was like my thing. So just asking yourself, how do I want to be treated? What do I want my relationships to feel like? You get to choose that. And maybe if we had more empowerment earlier on, we can start to have healthier relationships, because I've seen it happen even with my goddaughter, just hearing us talk about healthy love and knowing that she gets to choose, that it's not letting anyone choose you, that it's you get to choose what you want, and saying no if something goes off track, if someone cheats on you, leaving instead of staying in that relationship, because relationships start early on. Even if there's not yet sex, maybe it's just a kiss or talking or dating or flirting, but relationships begin, and it's important that we navigate the relationship with ourselves and we learn to set boundaries earlier on.
Okay. So you talked about our relationship to ourselves, which like is so much of what we talk about on Be Real, right? Is like to be real with ourselves, to be a friend to ourselves, to know how to have our own back is the foundation of so much of what we do in the world. And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit, like we go back to that first crush, little Christine, 13, 14, what was your relationship like with yourself? Could you take us there for a sec, seeing as that's where it can begin?
Yeah, I think that I was always a very sensitive soul. And at that point, I had already experienced pain. My parents had already gotten divorced when I was 3. I had already experienced, you know, abuse, verbal, physical. I was already hurting, you know, I was already hurting. And I was already not secure in my self-esteem. Because how we are treated affects how we view ourselves. Yeah. And so I knew that it was wrong on a cognitive level, but in my body, in my soul, and in how that manifested was that I still didn't feel secure. And so I believe that around that time, it was really just waking up to my individualization as a person and being like, okay, I'm separate from my parents. This is not right what they're doing. Like, you know, very angry inside, I would say. And I had to really navigate, because I didn't do everything wrong, right? There was love in my home too, but it was complex. And so I was in a phase of really just figuring out who I was, hormones, sexuality. I went to all girls school. I liked boys. I liked girls. I was just all over, and I was allowing myself to explore everything. And I think that at the very least, I gave myself permission to do that. And even though my parents were a little bit judgy, they weren't that judgy. Yeah. And that I can say is, you know, something powerful was that I did have the space at least to explore myself, because sexuality was a huge piece of how I ultimately acted out, but also how I learned to eventually love myself was by eventually learning to set those boundaries, and to have this self-love within myself helped me to then choose better people in my life.
Yeah.
Right.
So
it was a interesting time of a lot of questions, a lot of exploration, and a lot of like that emo, you know, sad time.
I feel you. Yeah. Committed emo. Yeah. Y'all, I really want to invite you listening in to hear this piece that Christine is just bringing to us, right? Because we can hear again and again, almost as cliches in our culture around, like, you know, date yourself first, be in a relationship with yourself so that you can know what you want. And like, I'm here to say it became a cliche for a freaking reason. Like, this is such important, brilliant piece of like, actually, I mean, grab a journal if journaling is your way, have a deep conversation with somebody you trust. And especially if your home has places that feel harmful, unstable, I relate to a lot of what Christine is saying. Where can you look for, it's why we do mentorship here. Where can you look for mentorship, other supportive adults, big sisters, big siblings, aunties, et cetera, you know, biological or very not, who you can lean on because you are deserving of stable love and support. I know it's not always easy to access, but I'm talking about this on a episode about dating relationships, because all of those relationships are the foundation of then healthy dating, right?
Absolutely. You know, mentorship is huge. And if you can't find it, imagine what it would feel like. Because I believe that we have wisdom within us. And I believe that inside of us, we know in our gut what it feels like to be treated good. Yeah. No matter what we've gone through, inside of us, there's a wisdom inside of you that knows this is wrong, this is healthy, this is not, this feels good, this doesn't feel good. I like this, I don't like this. And so if you can't find a mentor, if you don't have access to it, can you imagine and tap into your intuition and wisdom? One of the things that was a gift amidst this painful, in many ways, childhood was that I tapped into my intuition a lot. And I got to develop that relationship with my higher self, knowing that there was something bigger. And and that image or that archetype of like, this is what I imagine love to feel like. Yeah. Or this is what I imagine, and finding little pieces of what that feels like for you, whether it's a teacher or something, you're like, okay, that feels safe, or a friend, or that feels safe, and start gathering evidence of that so that you can start to say, okay, you know what? I want, and I choose to have this and this healthy, you know, relationship. And the last thing I'll say is that sometimes even as an adult, I would say this, and maybe this lands for you, maybe it doesn't, but when I was getting sober, letting go of my toxic relationship to alcohol, which was how it formulated later on in my late teens and early adulthood, was that I would say, you know, this toxic behavior just isn't cute anymore. Like, it's just not cute. Like, this is not cute. And I don't know why, but something about that language worked for me, where I was like, this is not cute, girl. Like, why are you doing this? No one thinks that's attractive. That's not nice. Why are you going to keep doing this? And I had to really be real with myself and be like, I don't want to do this. And sometimes you can do that when it comes to dating and relationships. Like, you know what? It's not cool to be dating a guy that treats you like shit, or a girl that treats you like shit, or a person that treats you like shit. It's not cool to abandon ourselves. It's not cool to live out these patterns. And obviously we don't do it on purpose. Many of us just fall into it. So having compassion for ourselves. But if you can find moments to also say, wait a minute, I don't want this. I want to be the change. I want to set the example. I want to be the one that's like, you know what? Nah, like, he was with some other girl in school, and I'm going to let that go because I love myself, like being the example. So there's different ways to play with your psyche, and you can find the language that works for you. That's like my ghetto girl that comes through for me sometimes. That's like, nah, girl, that's not cute. You know?
Yeah.
And so that worked for me, but find what works for you and develop an inner dialogue with yourself to get honest about what you deserve.
I love that so much. There's so much brilliance in what you just shared. I have a mentor who calls it your blueprint of wellness, right? However broken you feel, and there's so many times I honestly have felt like, oh yeah, broken. There's just no fixing this hot mess of the situation, right? On my inner self. And even under that, she calls there's this blueprint, like, you know, a building has a blueprint, but also like a soul, a body that we can tap into that wellness that we're all born in. And it's our birthright, no matter how hard it's feeling. So for folks who are like feeling kind of unconscious, we'll say blinded in a relationship, they're not sure. They're like, Christine, am I in a toxic relationship or is my friend in one? Can you tell us for you some of the yellow or red flags that you'd have folks look for? It's just some basic stuff to begin to pay attention to, especially if toxic stuff has become more normalized in their friend culture, community culture, home culture.
Yeah, I think one of the first things is like control or like judging you, very highly critical people. And this is friendships too. Remember, who you keep around you is going to determine a lot. So we learn a lot about romantic relationships through our friendships, not only our families. So people that are criticizing you, judging you, being mean to you. Why are you wearing that? Why do you look like that? You know, mocking, humiliating, shaming people that are trying to like change the way you do things, change the way you dress, pick on you and say, oh, you know, why are you wearing that? You're trying to get attention, extreme jealousy, extreme violation of your boundaries. If you say, you know, hey, I want to do this, and they cross it continuously. So these are some red flags. And even yellow flags are, maybe it's not necessarily that they're full blown into what we would call like an abusive relationship, but maybe they are someone that is not well within themselves. And you notice that they are a person that is currently acting out, or maybe they're using drugs or doing things to themselves that are harmful, and it's not yet coming out on you, but you can see in their life that they're doing it, or they're mean to other people, but not yet you. Yeah. So like a lot of times you see like these signs before they actually happen. So just look out. And again, one thing that I really want to stress is that you are born with intuition. Mm-hmm. And I would, my greatest lesson that I want to leave everyone with is that nobody outside of you knows as much as the key within you, which is your intuition, which is going to guide you. Yeah. And so I want everyone to tap into that gut of asking yourself the question, does this feel safe and good for me? And wait for the honest answer. Because I believe that if we ask those questions earlier on, we start to really repair our relationship with our intuition. And that will help us for a long time. That's going to be the compass for our life. Because when you don't have that mentor there, you have your inner mentor, your gut.
You can trust yourself. Yeah. You can trust yourself. When some of those flags are coming up, yellow or red, I'm wondering if you can tell us some of the stories that you hear people tell themselves to avoid looking that it's actually a yellow or a red flag. What are some of the things people might say, right? You know, so I know what, give an example that I can think of is like, oh, he's so jealous. Oh, that's so flattering. He likes me so much, right? He's just, that means he loves me so much. He's so committed.
Yeah. It was just this one time. He's not going to do it again. Oh, he was having a bad day, or she was having a bad day, right? Oh, this person, they went through a really hard life. It's not their fault that they're like that. No, they actually are caring about me. They're looking out for me because, maybe I am putting too much out there on social media or whatever the case is. Right. Yeah. And the thing is that a lot of times there are things that people say that might make sense rationally in some way. And so it's easy to buy into the idea that you should listen. For example, maybe you prefer to wear clothing and it's like short shorts and like colorful tops, right? But you feel comfortable and you feel beautiful in your body that way. And another person that has a more conservative view about what dressing should be like says, well, that's slutty.
Yeah.
Or that's not appropriate. So there is no right or wrong inherently. There is just you figuring out what feels good and right for you. And here's where the tricky part comes in. Because if you're not clear on who you are yet, which most of us are not when we're at that age, we are like, wait a minute, maybe I am being too much. Maybe this is too much. And this happens as an adult too, right? Like, don't get it twisted. It's not just like children and teens. It's like adulthood too. I posted, for example, pictures of me giving like in my birth process. And some of my own best friends were like, oh, my husband saw your body. And I was like, yeah, but I don't consider nudity in birthing to be a sexual thing. I think it's a natural thing. And yeah, so if Instagram lets me, and I have a mostly adult audience, and you know, for me, it's beautiful. And I even think of a teen were to see a birthing person, I don't consider that sexual. I consider that birth. So it's natural to me. Now, everyone has the right to their own opinion, but other people's opinions can oftentimes interfere with what we know to be true for ourselves, because in some other reality, the other person thinks that maybe it is wrong, right? Yeah. And so those are the moments where, again, you have to ask yourself, if you feel good and you feel right, stick with your gut and honor yourself, honor yourself. No teacher, no parent, no person is going to know what's right for you, because a lot of people in the world are going to have a lot of different opinions. And unfortunately, as a teen, you still have to listen to some of them.
I know.
The frustrating part is that, you know, some of them might be true. Some of them might be like, wait, you're doing this and this is harmful. And if something that you're doing is harmful, then maybe you have to get honest with yourself about listening, right? Because there's people that are wiser that know better in those moments, because you're still figuring it out. Yeah. But if there's other things that are true for you, know it in your gut and stick with it, especially in romantic relationships.
What if you, for somebody listening in here, is like, this isn't me, but like, this is my best friend. How do we begin to talk to somebody who seems real deep in it? What do we do? When do we take action? When do we not take action?
I mean, I think that when someone's in danger, whether it's emotionally, you know, physically, verbally, sexually, in any kind of way, it's important to tell someone, especially if they are not able to ask for help themselves. You know, this is never an easy thing, but, you know, telling a trusted school counselor or someone that's around that you think might be in danger, whether it's by the parents or by someone that they know. And they are trained professionals to be able to tell you what to do, and they will proceed with how to handle things. The reality is that we can't save anyone. We can only express concern, and we can say, you know, I'm concerned as a friend, I'm concerned about how that person's treating you. I don't think it's right. Something about it makes me feel nervous. And expressing concern and not being controlling oftentimes is the best way to go about it, because if you try to control that person, they might reject you and might push you away even more, because they're confused too. Yeah. And the reality is everyone is going to have to go through their process in the way they do, but just express concern. You know, and let them know, you know, I'm worried. Yeah.
And then as the friend, I would also add in, like, please take precious care of yourself so that you can be the most resourced, et cetera. If you're going to be, can be really painful to be close to somebody you love who's in a situation of harm, or just anywhere on the yellow flag spectrum of a toxic relationship.
Yeah. And always take care of yourself. Sadly, sometimes, you know, depending how it goes, if they're not listening, you might have to distance yourself for your own sanity. Exactly. You can give love by also first and always giving love to yourself.
Mm, yes. Okay. We are coming to the end of our time today, Christine. I'm so grateful. Is there anything else that's really on your heart that we didn't get to today that you're wanting to share?
I think that the main thing that I want to leave everyone with is that you are in a really important time in your life where you are allowed to feel confused. You're allowed to feel a multitude of emotions, and to give yourself a lot of compassion, whatever that looks like forgive yourself for not knowing it, let yourself feel what you need to feel, and get support. Like get support, do whatever you need to do to get support for yourself. My baby's crying.
Hey. So
I'm going to give her teta. Come my baby. Cause you saw your mama. Oh, my baby. It's okay. Come my baby.
See, I was crying because I don't want in my bottle with the breast milk. I want my mama. I'm going to finish. And let me give her more milk, and then we
go for it.
See, I want
anything you
want
to add, baby Mark? Anything you'd like to add?
You tell them to always take care of their heart, right? Always take care of their heart. And the last piece that I want to just leave with everyone is just to be compassionate with yourself, because you're navigating through a lot of different emotions.
Yeah.
So just be gentle with yourself. You tell them, be gentle.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Christine. Y'all, we're going to put in the show notes all the ways to connect with Christine and her beautiful work in the world, her amazing diosahood, and the work that she does. If you are a spiritual entrepreneur, if you're somebody who's deep in the process of doing their own healing work, especially as an adult. I cannot recommend Christine's work enough from the beloveds that mutual beloveds we have, or we've crossed paths. I'm so excited for y'all to get to connect. And thanks for being with us today, Christine.
You say bye, mama. I'm going to go breastfeed now. Bye.
Yep. Bye, honey.
All right. Thanks for hanging with me today, love. If you want more, we got more. Head over to badassgirls.me to get some good free stuff, like Spotify playlists to keep you feeling awesome, videos, more real talk, and to go on adventures with us, inner and in real life, in our programs. I've got the best team. They're amazing. I can't wait for you to meet them. Let's talk soon. You got this.